Parshas Vayetze starts the adventures that are solely those of Yaakov Avinu. Now, all the others traveled a great deal. Avram the most, and Yitzchak somewhat also around Eretz Yisrael. He never left Eretz Yisrael. And yet, it's only with Yaakov Avinu that we're taught a new lesson about traveling, right? It says, you know, Rashi opens up on the first pasuk in this week's parsha. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Ve'elech Haran. Yaakov left, Be'er Sheva, and he went towards Haran, right? So even though it already says last week he was on his way, so what's it teaching you? He left Be'er Sheva and he went to Haran, right? Not only is it being said again, but stressing where he left, where he's going to. So Rashi says, Yitzias Tzadik ben amakom osa roshem. When a tzadik leaves a place, it leaves an impression, right? Because when he's in the city, he's the glory of the city. And once he leaves, you know, so the glory of the city leaves with him, right? Talking about a relationship between a man and, you know, a tzaddik and the space that he occupies, right? And so that's, this lesson we're first taught, by Yaakov Avinu. Rashi brings other places where it's alluded to in Tanakh, right? But, Avram Avinu did a lot of traveling, and Yitzhak Avinu also did some traveling. Yet, for some reason, it's with Yaakov Avinu, it's something special to him, obviously, to reveal this unique relationship between man and space, right? So when he's in a place, he's the glory. If he leaves a place, so the glory of the place leaves with him, right? This further relationship between him and space, comes up that Rashi points out that Yaakov Avinu experienced kfitzas haderach, spatial distortions, that he was able to get to certain places, in very quick speeds. Time and space collapse for him. Rashi mentions at the end of the parasha, right? It's mentioned a few times that Yaakov Avinu kfitzas haderach. Right, and also when he comes to Hara Moriah, where he slept, so it says, Hashem tells him, right, Paretz asher ata shochev aleh l'chad neno zarecha, the land that you're sleeping on, I'm going to give to you and your descendants. So now, that's not a lot of real estate, right? How much space does a person occupy when he sleeps? So Rashi says that in a certain way, the Ribbono Shel Olam folded the whole Eretz Yisrael under him. Right, so with Yaakov Avinu, a special relationship between man and space, man and his space. How Yaakov Avinu, he rules over space. He's generally space holds the person. Space is what surrounds the person. And Yaakov Avinu, he rules over space, right? Whether it's ruling over it that he is the glory of the space, and the space doesn't glorify him. Right, he is the honor of a place, and the place is not what honors him. So that's why if he leaves a place, the honor leaves with him. Right, he's on top of time and space, and that's why he has he's able to get places much faster than anyone else, as if the destination that he's going towards moves towards him. Right, so space and the distance that's within space doesn't encompass him. He's on top of it. He's in control of it. And that's also, the whole Eretz Yisrael could be folded under him. A very interesting thing, Yaakov Avinu is above space. Amazing thing. All right, and that's also, read the, as soon as he leaves Haran, he goes, leaves Be'er Sheva, rather, towards Haran, where Rashi gives us this lesson that he took the glory of the space with him. All right, so it says that, Vayif Kabba Makom, Vayon Sham, Kivashash, Vayikach Mavne Makom, Vayasim Mirashosav, Vayishkav Bamakom Ahu. Right, the term Makom comes up, space comes up inordinately over and over again in that pasuk. He reached the place, and he took from the, the rocks of the place, and he slept in that place. And we know that all the rocks that he put around him also experienced this spatial distortion, that they all took up the same space. Under Yaakov Avinu, everyone wanted to have the privilege of Yaakov Avinu putting his head on him. So they all merged. All the different stones took up the same place. always this phenomenon. It's a special thing between Yaakov Avinu and space. Right. So, to understand a little bit of this very, very deep concept that Yaakov Avinu is parallel to the power of space, right? That he that it's man's control over space that Yaakov Avinu represents, something unique to Yaakov Avinu, right? This is a very, very deep philosophical concept, right? But I think we could have an angle on it, get a handle on it from a somewhat of a ethical perspective, and maybe at another time we'll speak on a from a more metaphysical perspective, but to get a very real handle on this deep concept from an ethical perspective. It says, Vayifka b'makom, he reached a place, right? So there are three pshatim in what that means, right? One pshat is, like, literally, he reached a place, simple, right? He reached a place, Hara Moriah. Another Lashon Chazal is, and over there he instituted Mariv, right? That, you know, Gemara says in Brachas, that Vayifka b'makom, when, you know, is that he davened at the place. He davened there. Vayifka, the Gemara proves, could also mean tefillah. It could mean to reach the place. So he davened at the place and he instituted Mariv. And the third pshat in the Medrash is that Vayifka, he reached God, because God is also called Hamakom, the place, right? God is called the place. Right, and now why is God called the place? So Chazal say in a few places, "Hu mekomo shalom ben olam mekomo." God is the place of the world, but the world is not His place. Now, what that means is, you know, the world rests on God. What does a place do? A place is something where you rest on. If you wouldn't have a place, you die. Right? En l'cha davar shel makom, Chazal say, it's nothing that doesn't have its place. That's its field of possibility of existence. It needs space to hold it. Needs to be held by space, and within that space also has to be all the resources that he needs to live. Even a homeless person has his place, right? There's wherever street corner that he's planted himself at, that's the physical space that also, and at that street corner may be that garbage bin that he finds food in, or at that street corner is there's traffic of people that he could panhandle from, you know, he could beg from. So even a poor person has space that enables his existence, right? God enables the existence of the world, and he doesn't get anything from the world. He doesn't need the world. So it's called the world's not his place. But he's the place of the world. That what place does for an object, that's what God does for reality itself. He's the place of the world. He enables the world to exist, right? He is, you know, that's what space is. Space, turf, is the field of possibility of existence. That's where you have to put yourself. And that's from there also will come the resources that you survive from. And so that's what God is for the world. Right. So that means, where is the world? The world is by God. Right. Where is the world? The world is by God. Because the world cannot exist on its own. It's resting on God, right? It's supported by God, like a place supports the object that's resting in it. Right. So Yaakov Avinu reaches the makom. He reaches God. He reaches the aspect of God that's called makom. Yaakov Avinu reveals to the whole world this divine attribute that, you know, where is the world? The world is by God. Where is the world? The world is by God. What's the place world? God. What does that mean? There's no existence outside of God. There's no existence outside of God. That's what it means. Everything belongs to God. Everything is by God. Everything is supported by God. There's no existence outside of God. That's what it means. To put in pure ethical Musar terms, there is no existence, there is no space outside of God. That's what Yaakov Avinu wants to teach to us, his unique message to the whole world, right? That everything belongs to God, everything is by God. Now, what difference does that make in my life is that this realization facilitates the idea of kol ma'asecha yiyu l'shem shemayim. Everything you do should be for the sake of God, right? You should never say, no, I do my mitzvahs, I do my quota of mitzvahs, but I have my off time, you know, where God forbid I'm not doing anything against God, right? But I'm on my own time. I'm not doing neither mitzvahs nor averus, God forbid. As if, you know, what you owe God are just mitzvahs and averus. Those are your responsibilities towards Him. But outside of those, you know, of not transgressing His commandments and keeping His positive commandments, outside that, I have my own life on my own time, right? Where I could, as it were, not think about God and not relate to God. I'm not doing anything that's awesome. I'm on my own time, right? Yaakovinu is against that illusion. He's against that illusion of a person feeling his own space, right? That's why it's not usher, although it has nothing to do with God, but it's not usher. Yaakovinu is against that illusion, because God forbid that illusion, the philosophical ramifications, right, of that perspective is that there's space outside of God, right? And that's the heresy of as if there are two domains. There's God and there's space outside of God, God forbid. Right? There's no space outside of God. Right? And therefore, me also in my life, I have to feel that everything I do somehow relates to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Somehow, in some way. And this is one of the greatest challenges that Yaakovinu wants, is out to tackle. Right? And this is actually part of his adversity with love, and it's all about this thing. You know, that Yaakovinu wants to declare everything belongs to God, and Lavan wants to say everything declares belongs to me. As, you know, the end of the parsha, yeah, Lavan says, everything you have is mine, and the daughters are mine, and the grandchildren are mine. Yaakov says, no, it's not right. They're mine. And why he insists on their being his is because I want them to be a part of me, because what's a part of me is a part of Hashem, because everything about me is totally, you know, geared towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why Yaakovinu fights him over the money, right? Yaakovinu cares even about a little bit of money. It's not greed. It's that Yaakovinu wants everything to be associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything should be associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the makom that holds everything. There is no other domain. And if you leave things by Lavan, so Lavan is going to use these things for profane purposes. And these things will not be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakovinu wants to connect everything to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even things that are, you know, reshus, things that you would think, it's up to me whether I want to do it or not do it. No. That belongs to God. There's nothing that's as something that doesn't belong to God. Everything is by God. And you have to live a life that everything you do, you should feel that you're with God always. And everything that you do has what to do with God. And it's from God. And it's by God. And that's Vayif Gavamok can reach the place. And that's a secret. You know, that, you know, the place they reached is, aside from that, that's the temple, and that's where we do our divine worship, that's called the generic place, the makom. That's also what's called throughout Tanakh, HaMakom HaShayiv HaHashem, right? The Beis Hamikdash is called the place, because the Beis Hamikdash is supposed to be your perspective on space itself, that even though you can't do the karbonos, you can't do the whole sacrificial order everywhere, like you do in the temple, but the temple should be your perspective on space. That's why the Temple Mount is called HaMakom HaShayiv HaHashem. It's called the place. And also this was part of Vayifka B'Makom. Because the temple, you should view the whole world as a temple. The whole world is equally by God and resting on God, no different than the temple. The only difference is that in the temple, you could do the sacrifices. Outside that, you can't do the sacrifices. But all the places equally are by God. All right? The temple should give you your perspective on all space. And that's the secret. He also institutes the Tefillah of Maariv. The Tefillah of Maariv by institution was a Tefillah Shos. It was a voluntary Tefillah. And that's a very special tikkun that Yaakovinu is giving us. Right? The other Avos, right, give you mandatory Tefillahs. Right? Everyone could live with the fact that they have responsibilities to people outside of themselves. Right? I have responsibilities to people outside of myself, but I have my own space also. Yaakovinu says, when you have a perception of your own time, daven anyway, right? To break that illusion of having your own time and your own space. You know, to break the illusion of having your own time and your own space, daven anyway. And that's what Tefillas Maariv is. And that's the hardest thing for a person to do, right? A person can understand that he has, you know, he can't hurt anyone outside of himself, and he may have certain responsibilities to people outside of himself, but that he has none of his own space. That's the hardest thing. That's the highest and hardest realization to come to, right? And that's the realization Yaakovinu wants to bring. Being the chosen of the three of us, right? Being the finality of the process of the of us, wants to bring this clarity that all space belongs to God. And that's why he's on top of space, right? The reason why space surrounds us so, and we're under space, is because we view space as being a reality outside of God. If a person understands that God is the Makom Shel Olam, he's on top of space. And he drags all space towards God. So if you are with God, you're on top of space, and space is under you for you to use it to serve Hashem. Right? If you understand that space is a reality onto its own, there's a man's space, right? Saying outside of God. So then you're really under space, and you're under time and space. Yaakov Avinu is above time and space because he comes to the realization that Hashem is the real place of the world. He's the real Mokom. He's the real time space that contains everything and supports everything. And Yaakov Avinu wants everyone to come to that realization. Pierce the illusion of having your own space. So it's Maariv time. You don't have to daven. You're on your own time. What about daven anyway? To show that there's no such thing as your own time. And that's why Maariv is at night. Because this is the greatest confusion. Night is the time of confusion. This is the greatest confusion man has to contend with, right? There's the perception of having your own space, that space is a reality on its own. Break it. Break through it. It's the hardest darkness to pierce, right? It's the hardest darkness to pierce, right? Break it and turn it into a tefillah. That's the unique midah, the unique revelation of Yaakov Avinu.